Ladies and gentlemen, this is Dax Xavier Josiah, the host of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, the podcast. You want to catch up with all of our podcast shows and hear from some of the hottest names in all of anime, comics, movies, and games, such as...
This is Miley Flanagan, the voice of Naruto.
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon.
This is Ruben Langdon, voice of Ken Masters and Dante from Devil May Cry.
Hey there, this is Kyle Abear, the voice of Ryu from Street Fighter V.
This is Chris Battle, character designer of Teen Titans Go.
Here's your chance to check out all of that and more on TalkTimeLive.com. TalkTimeLive.com provides all of our ACMG content with new and previous episodes, exclusive interviews, articles, and much more. Visit TalkTimeLive.com and let us help you learn to let go, live life, and love all things ACMG.
Talk Time Live!
This is Stephanie Shea, the voice of Sailor Moon, and in the name of the moon, you are listening to ACMG Presents Talk Time Live.
Welcome to the show to give you all the news, views, and opinions in the world of gaming. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extras. So let's start with your host, Dax Xavier Josiah. Power up and game on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live Extra Select Start. I am your host, Xavier Josiah. Hope everybody is having a wonderful week, if not a pleasant week, with everything going on in this world today, whether in your world or just in general. I hope that at least you find some light, at least from this podcast standpoint, at least if you're listening to this podcast. So we got a lot of news going on this week, of course, in the world of gaming, including our review of Mario Tennis Aces for the Nintendo Switch, which is a game I've been waiting quite a while to get my hands on. I've loved all of the Mario Tennis games, and I've been a big fan of them. Each one of them seemed to evolve even more. And this one's somewhat different, but does it measure up to the others? And we'll talk about that later on in the on the show. But we, like I said, we got a lot of news to talk about. So without further ado, let's get underway. For instance, Alana Pierce. A lot of you may know her on Instagram, on Twitter, and especially IGN, as she's one of the main hostess for the show. You see a lot of our video segments on there. Well, she just announced on the 25th online on social media and other formats, and especially YouTube, that she will be leaving IGN as of the 29th this week. So from what I'm talking about, and there's some interesting things that are coming out of this. From my perspective, from my inference, actually, of why she's leaving or what... She left a somewhat of a vague explanation of it, and she had to because of circumstances of what she's doing next. Understandably so. So, she said that she's leaving to pursue other ventures, that she also felt that she did not... she did all that she had to do within the company, and also that she felt that she wasn't getting the opportunity to do more and felt stagnant. Now, when she said that, and this is just, you know, from what she said, you know, from my interpretation of what she said here, from when I watched it and the look on her face, and I'm just drawing an inference, only speculation at best. Nobody will ever really truly know until it comes out of her mouth as to what could possibly be the situation of why she's leaving. But I believe what she says is that she wants to find other ventures, and she's she's, you know, exerted all of her abilities within the company, that at least what the company allowed her to do. So from what I understand and what she was saying in the video is that she did feel stagnant, and that can also mean like she wanted to do more, but they limited her to the amount of things that she could do. And if that is the case, I kind of empathize with her. And just the very nature and the context of her voice and how she sounded. Very, you know, it was like she was trying to make it positive as possible. And the look on her face, I had this before because I also left a job of 10 years, you know, due to circumstances like similar to what she's doing. And I wanted to seek other ventures. I wanted to show more value to my life, and they weren't providing it for me. They weren't giving me the opportunities to do so. So now I had to go my other way to do it. And, you know, that means go freelance in some cases to go about it to prove my worth. You know, again, it's like I felt stagnant after 10 years. She had it for 3. And I commend her on even leaving at that time because, you know, some people don't have the courage to leave a job, especially one with the benefits that she had, and it's very comfy, and, you know, in some cases you'd be like, well, I could be doing worse in this case, but she felt the ambition to want to venture out more, and she felt that she's gained enough, you know, access, popularity, and credibility to venture out and find other opportunities, and she did. What she's doing next, I don't know, but she'll be announcing that pretty soon, of course. But just the look in her face, you know, and the sound of her voice, it sounded like, you know, she didn't probably want to leave to an extent, but also, you know, they weren't giving her any too many options because she wanted to do more and they weren't doing it. And again, you know, I understand that completely if that's the case. So she will be going with another company, to which she has not announced yet, and she can't, and she will announce soon. She, like I said, she's leaving on the 29th. And the other thing too is that with the new company that she'll be working with, and she says she's not doing an independent project. She's totally working with another company, and she felt that this company was more suitable to her. It's going to be a lot more help, you know. Which I told everything she said on air is like, oh, this sounds so familiar. It's like, you know, you kind of give, like I said, my job, I've given this job a lot of credit for what they do, but sometimes the direction is not always the best. And when you're trying to prove that you could do a lot and show your worth, and they're just ignoring you or not acknowledging that, you kind of feel, it makes you feel like it's such a negative void in your life when you do that. So you kind of want to reach out. Otherwise, you're going to be stagnant. And then you're also going to, you know, come out depressed in some cases, too. Now, again, I could be totally off base by this, but just judging by how she was doing, because it was almost like she kind of stopped herself at a few times where she wanted to say more, but she couldn't. But she, at the same time, just, you know, really try to praise IGN for what they've done and what a lot of people in there, like herself, has done and all the hard work. And I give them credit. I give IGN much credit. I do rely on a lot of what they do, and they've grown exponentially to become one of the top media formats for all things anime, comics, movies, and games, pretty much. But I can understand what their corporate structure of how things are and the restrictions within that, which doesn't allow you to really be able to do some other things that you're going to do. And one of the things that she's going to be able to do now is going back to streaming gameplay online, you know, be her own brand in some cases, which is also good there. So I'm looking forward to seeing where she's going next. And as much as I respect IGN and what they become, I still have my reserves about certain things. And I've heard it from our ACMG Facebook group a lot of times when people have questioned their reviews sometimes in certain cases. And I, you know, I've been known to be a little skeptical on some as well. But they do produce a lot of great quality. They do get out a lot of news early, more before anybody else. Or they, you know, have it at the ready, you know, even if they're not the first. And they do have a great panel. My only big pet peeve about them, and we spoke about this before, I mentioned this before, is that on camera, on video, I've only seen a sea of salt in there and no pepper at all. If they can absolutely start adding, and I know they have other, you know, ethnicities within there, but to me, I gotta believe it in my heart of hearts that there is some more representation, African-American or African or whatever representation, or even Latino representation that's in there. And I don't see it. It's just literally, every time I look at a panel on IGN, it's just, there's not, I have not seen one African-American, male or female, ever to host anything in IGN. And I know there are very articulate and intelligent people within the industry that can absolutely play the role. I don't know if it's a matter of they haven't applied, but I really have a hard time believing that they didn't apply to be able to work at IGN and be on camera or whatever like that. I just really have a hard time believing that. Of course, we'll never know, but the proof, it's obvious from what we see. Like, there's just always a full white panel. And it's not that I don't like the panel itself, because the panel was very entertaining. They're great. They're very informative. I just feel like there are more people out there. And to see people of my culture in IGN gives me a lot of hope to say, like, you can do this. And I don't see a lot of it. And that's not only just IGN. It's also GameSpot. No, actually, GameSpot, I believe, have somewhat of a multicultural representation in there as well. And other, you know, there are other companies out there that have some representation. But, you know, it just always really bothers me. And it's taken nothing away from the quality of what they've done. Again, like she said, there are a lot of hardworking, you know, employees and staff in IGN that makes IGN what it is. Whether they get acknowledged for it enough is one thing. And I think she took her time gracefully to acknowledge that. And I thought it was really commendable of her to do so. And I did this too with my old job too. It's like, I don't want to damn everybody. There's just a problem with the direction of my former. But, you know, for what it's worth, they do help the community and in a very important way. It's just felt like they just don't give too many opportunities, too much to particular people in particular demographics, I would say. So, be that as it may, I will miss seeing her, because honestly, of all the people on IGN that I've enjoyed, it's seeing her, because I thought she was really cool, really informative. She really loved what she's doing. She said she was always tired as hell doing it, so they probably pushed her to the rim of, you know, working there and all the traveling and everything she had to do. So, you know, I get it. I understand. But, I mean, she's great. She seems grateful for the opportunity, and it's awesome, and she learned a lot. And, you know, she'll be missed. Looking forward to seeing what she does next in the gaming community, whether it is going to be the gaming community or not. We'll see. But, you know, shout out to you. And I believe, to my knowledge, she's absolutely reached out via, she saw a lot of the content that I've produced out on my Instagram account. So, you know, thank you for acknowledging me. Thank you for noticing me, Alana. I mean, I really appreciate it. It's an honor to have you do so. And I wish you the best in your future endeavors, definitely. So I look forward to seeing what's going on next with her, indeed. So speaking of her, one of the articles that I did see on IGN that she reported on IGN, was something that I've talked about before, and this is total crap. So Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, any of you guys remember that spinoff game that they had for the PlayStation 3? That honestly, it wasn't the best thing in the world, and it was a shame, because like a lot of people were waiting for this game to come out for a long time, and when it finally came out, it was like it wasn't too up to par with their expectations. That doesn't mean it wasn't a really fun game to play. It was actually a really fun game to play. But I think people were reaching out for much more in this game. But nonetheless, I honestly wish they would bring it out for the PlayStation 4, because I would buy it. I really enjoyed that song, that game, especially at the very end when you fought, I believe, the senator or something like that, if I remember correct. It was definitely a politician of sort, or somebody in office that really was on some TRT. You know, it was really crazy. But nonetheless, that game somehow, some way, for some reason, was on the Mac, and I didn't even know that Mac had games on there. I didn't think anybody played any games on the Mac. But here's the reason why you don't play games on a Mac. Lo and behold, you know, Alana explains that the game is unfortunately unplayable on a Mac due to the fact that to DRM. And also that the company behind the Mac port, Transgaming, is gone, so there is no server to play games even on a single player. This is the part that we talked about before. And we talked about this before, myself and Chris Milicinas, when we did the E3 special. For you guys to remember, Chris Milicinas is the curator of the Art of Video Games exhibit at the Smithsonian Museum. And we were talking about the online streaming aspect that they're doing right now, the streaming networks that they're doing now. This is an example of why I don't like online attachments with video games, especially digital downloads, because that is just insane. And the fact that you had to have online access to be able to play a single player game on a Mac, that's ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. I should have the opportunity to play a game offline if I just so happen to have internet, or my internet's down. That shouldn't stop me from playing a single player game. And that right there is one of the things that I was so worried about with playing online-only games or stuff like that, or investing money into online games because of situations just like that. So I feel bad for anybody who just so happens to be playing still Metal Gear Solid Revengeance, but it lit up a certain awareness that I think people need to understand. It's like, when you invest in online-only games or stuff like that, and you spend a ton of cash on these things, anything can happen. Anything can happen at any moment where, like, this, if it involves a server, the server goes out and you're assed out. So if we were talking about this, you know, a couple weeks ago, if we only rely on online streaming networks for gaming only, and they stop selling, you know, digital downloads, or they stop selling physical copies, and the server goes down, you will not be gaming. I think this is an awful idea to do. I mean, not as a primary, at least. I hope this is not a means to try to make this a primary thing, because the situations like that right there scares me. Let me have full ownership of my games, whether it be digital download or physical, and be able to play offline. That's on my hard drive. And do not get rid of hard drives at all. We just starting to celebrate us having terabytes now. And we can definitely use it. So yeah, let's really get off of that. Thank you. So, in Street Fighter news, we finally get a chance to play Cody this week, as Yoshinori Ono actually acknowledged that we will be able to play him for a few days, and like they did with Blanka and Sakura, and be able to try him out on. At first he actually said that it won't be in all the modes. And in fact, I played him on story mode, story character mode, as well as survivor mode and all that stuff. So I thought they said that it was going to be online only, but no, they released him. This is the best Cody I've ever played. I liked Cody on the Alpha series, but there were some things that just felt limited. And there are some people who could really use Cody so well. In this case, I like this Cody much better. This more mature Cody who can actually who now has hurricane projectiles now, so which is awesome. Along with the fact that like his V triggers is him, you know, having certain, you know, weapons at his disposal that he can use, and along with that, there's an extra move with it too. So I love that so much from him. I'm looking forward to be able to play him completely when it unlocks, because I did get the third season. So we have him, and then we got two other characters. One of them is Sagat. I know that. I forgot who the other one was. But I'm looking forward to this. This game just keeps producing, man. It's the reason why Street Fighter is legend. Added to that, I just got a commemorative coin from Mercoid celebrating the 30th anniversary. I was trying to put it along the lines of my Yoshinori Ono signed gear from San Diego Comic-Con last year. But it's too thick. I might have to get like a box. I might have to get a box framed or something, you know, if I really want to do that. So, but, you know, Cody comes off really well. I like the way he is. He's much more balanced before and, you know, really cool. I'm looking forward to seeing how people work him in tournament play, much like Kenny Omega did against the New Day, which, by the way, I never talked about that. And I forgot to talk about that a couple weeks ago during E3. One of the most historical things that can happen, probably more in wrestling than gaming, is that the Bullet Club, or the Elite now, went off against the new WWE's New Day. So you got New Japan Pro Wrestling and WWE coming together for the first time ever. Xavier Woods put this together. He's been working on that for 3 years, and that was pretty damn awesome. It was, they, being the consummate performers that they are, they turned it into an entire, it was so well set up the way they did it, and Tasty Steve getting super kicked by the Young Bucks was hilarious. Just the collaboration of the two coming together was such a great thing. And at the end, if you're a wrestling fan and didn't know and have not seen the Elite, yes, New Japan Pro Wrestling's Elite versus the New Day in a game of Street Fighter V in 3-on-3 tournament style, you got to go out of your way to check it out, because they did so well putting that together, and the setup and everything was really cool. It was awesome, including the ending of that. You couldn't have done it better. I hope they do this again. But again, it was such a big event that even WWE advertised that Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks were going to be going up against them. I mean, that's really, that's definitely a big deal, because they're two different wrestling promotions, and the fact that they're sharing, and that also, here's the thing, that for wrestling fans, that also could mean that, you know, WWE's plotting. So, you know, don't get it twisted if in another year or two we see Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks in WWE. There's always a method to their madness here. So, not to mention, if you got on the WWE Network, they actually have a Kenny Omega match in the network. So, definitely they're plotting hard. But go ahead out of your way to check it out. The other thing that they had that I wanted to talk about on Street Fighter is the update that they provided. We talked about this a week or two ago, saying that they were going to add this. The survival mode is now changed, and I got to say, I actually like it. I have my reserves about it, but it does provide a different dynamic to the survivor mode now, because you now have the use of battle items, which you have from the start. You have some battle items from the start, but you gain more through the game's through survival mode if you beat it. Also, through this new microtransaction mode called Fighter's Chance, which is actually, they say, is an in-game. It's actually an in-game microtransaction game. Here's why I'm a little skeptical about that, but we'll talk about that in a minute. With the survival mode, you do gain more from completion of survival mode. Also, the cool part here is that you can save where you are at. So you can resume where you're at in the game, which gives you the ability to save, leave, come back home, finish where you left off right there. And also, upon completion of survival mode, you can gain a fortune ticket, which gives you a free access to the fortune, to the fighting chance mode in there. So the other cool part, I thought, was that if you lose survival mode, if you just happen to lose all your energy and you know, get knocked out, you will have the ability to continue, provided you pay at least at first $800 of your fight money. $800 of your fight money. I got a feeling if you lose again, it goes up. That's my belief. I haven't even tried the 800. I just said I'll play it again another time and, you know, just go through it. I'll grind it out. So, with that, I think that's pretty cool, because it kind of has an arcade type of thing to it. The only reason why I don't have too much reserves about the use of all this is because I have a bunch of extra fight money left because I have the season mode. And a lot of times, Capcom have provided you with extra fight money for updates. So I have all, and I never had to use it to get like extra characters or stages. I mean, there's some stages I have purchased through fight money, but not all of them. And then some of them require extra real money, which I opted out of too as well. But they do provide some really cool stuff with that. And the fact that I have all that extra fight money, I can kind of spend and splurge on doing certain things like that. So it doesn't bother me totally with that so far. The Fighter's Chance mode, let's talk about that real quick, is a, like I said, a microtransaction mode where the character Manat provides you with fortune. Provided that you have a fortune ticket or fight money that you want to, you know, spend on a game. So the fortunes are random items that you, such as costumes, color schemes for fighters, items for survival mode, and more. I actually received the Cannon Spike Cammy in the first donation or my first spending, along with some colors and for Cody and Nash and some other things. I have a feeling I've heard about this. I've already heard about this Cannon Spike Cammy suit that you will get. I think that's just a first offer to lure you in, and then hoping that you will get another costume or something like that. It's all, the rest of that part is random. I think the first set is not random, but after that, I think everything else is going to be random for that point there. So that's just to lure you in my opinion. So other than that, yeah, I don't really have too much reserve for this fighting chance because of the fact that I have money. But my only skepticism about this is that you actually can, if I'm correct, you can buy fight money with real money if you don't want to go the route of going online and grind it out too. And many people who fight online have reserves about this, because although Street Fighter is still one of the best tournament play games out there, they still are stingy and frugal about giving you fight money, unlike that of Injustice, or especially Tekken gives you like millions of dollars of money to spend on content in their game. Like, they really are just giving it away. Whereas Street Fighter, it is kind of, is really kind of frugal and stingy to do so. So that's the part that kind of, you know, people are having reserves for. But honestly, I like it. It gives me a reason to want to spend money on air, my fight money in there. So I have, otherwise I wouldn't be using it at all. So I give it a pass right now. I dig what it's doing right now. So unless we hear other things or other controversies from it, yeah, I'm good with it. So if you haven't checked it out, and if you haven't played Street Fighter V in a while, be sure to check it out, play it, and update your damn thing, because this thing constantly updates all the time. So you expect a wait time, especially depending on your internet speed or whatever like that. So check it out there. I got a chance to check out the demo for Captain Toad's Treasure Tracker. This game has been talked about a lot in E3 last year. It's finally coming out, I believe, this month. And the demo's out right now for you to try. So I did try it out. And I gotta say, of course, it's a Mario game. It's a Mario-esque game, or it's a Mario spinoff. It's always gonna be good. I haven't really found a bad Mario game. There's some okay Mario games, but there's no such thing as almost a bad Mario game out there. So I played this game, and actually it's pretty much like a puzzle game at best. And it's some really cool features in there, and you got Captain Toad going around, who's also, by the way, seen in Mario Odyssey as well. So you go in there, and you are moving the camera around and panning the camera around to make sure that he's finding every single aspect of the, you know, stage that he's in, which all these stages are very well designed. We can't expect less. It's one of the best things about Nintendo is that their design, they're great designers of stages and levels in there, and they keep you intrigued, and this is no different. So you got this 3D, you're panning around this 3D stage, and you're trying to find three gems along the way, some other special elements as well, and to complete the board. Now, it's best, you can easily just get the three, find the three gems within the stage, and just finish the game and get the star from there. But you probably don't want to do that, because there are other items in there that you're going to want to find, some special items. There are also used mushrooms that if you, you know, shy, there's a bunch of shy guys and other, you know, characters that are going to be in this game. So if you get hit by the shy guys, like Mario, you kind of shrink down, and you have to find, you have to actually survive being small, or you have to find a mushroom to grow back to the original form. So you have that aspect on there. But once you go through it, and there are boss battles as well, so the demo gives you a few stages to play on, and then your first boss battle to play on as well, which is really cool and innovative as always. So I'm actually, I like it. I'm looking forward to it. Will I get the full version? I'm not sure. But I think down the line I probably will, you know, get it. But, you know, this is another fun addition for Mario, looks like it's going to be. And I'm looking forward to seeing how people feel about it and think about it. So I had a lot of fun playing it. So if you haven't checked out the demo of that, go out of your way and check it out. It's free, of course, and it's on the Nintendo eShop right there. And the other thing too, I do want to add too, is that there are also touchscreen features in that game, which really plays a great factor in there. It felt very balanced all around, especially the movement of the camera and everything too. Love it. So go out of your way to check it out and see for yourself there. Let's go into WWE 2K19 news, people. Yeah, my favorite one. They, again, to continue their cover-up of everything that they did from 2018, they are adding, I gotta give respect to this because I'm a big fan, but the return of Rey Mysterio is coming back to this edition of WWE 2K19. This is an awesome add-on. Again, last year it was Kurt Angle that they had it. And there was Seth Rollins being on the front cover. Well, this time, Rey Mysterio is back. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean he's back into the WWE, but chances are they're probably working on negotiations of him actually making a comeback, because he's also in AAA. He's also fighting in other organizations right now, too. So this usually leads to something. Rather, he's going to be in the game this year, or he's also leading to the Hall of Fame. And that could easily also play a factor, too, because Goldberg is in the Hall of Fame as well. You know, when he was on air too, and Kurt Angle Hall of Fame as well. So Rey Mysterio could absolutely be the new Hall of Fame inductee this year, because every time they add on somebody else on a game, they wind up in a Hall of Fame. So, and still involved in, WWE in some form or fashion. So it's great to have him back. I'm looking forward to seeing his entrance again. Hopefully they have different versions of Rey Mysterio, because they had different. Rey Mysterio had some phenomenal mask and entrances, and you know, really, really good costumes coming out of there, especially the one with the Aztec gear that he had on one of those WrestleManias when I believe POD was performing his song, and it's just awesome. And I want to see the one when he actually hops out of the stage too, because that was always an awesome thing. Unfortunately, he doesn't do it anymore because I know he had leg trouble back then, but he looks extremely healthy and in shape right now too. He packed in a lot of he lost a lot of weight, because back then he was told, especially when he won the World Heavyweight Championship, that they wanted him, this man who's three apples high, to gain a lot of weight to meet heavyweight standards, and it was ridiculous. Absolutely. What was also ridiculous is that they had him lose and job to a lot of times when he was champion. It was just unbelievable. I'm so glad Daniel Bryan's changing things now, along with other people. But, you know, and shout out to Royce Gracie, for God's sake, for being the legit dude to be able to beat bigger guys. That's like three times the size, to shut people up about how little people can win big. So, but nonetheless, WWE 19 is coming on October 8th this year. And if you pre-order it, you get it early. You get it 4 days early. They did this last year as well. The question that a lot of people are asking right now, and they haven't announced it yet, and they didn't last year until like later on, is 2K Games making a 2K19 game for the Nintendo Switch? That is the biggest question ever. I got a feeling they're going to cover this up and they're going to wipe their hands clean of it as if it never happened, because unlike, you know, it looks like 2K Games sometimes follow the ways of WWE, and when something controversial happens, they act like it don't exist. They wipe it from history. So I really hope that they address not only the issues to those who brought the game, but say that, yes, we messed up. Yes, we did fix things, you know, for last year's game. And they did fix things. It is way more playable than it ever was. It looks way better than it ever did when it first started. The frame rate is really questionable, because there's some times where the frame rate is just at like 60 frames per second, it looks like. And then all of a sudden, it just slows down again. It's really weird, especially on handheld mode. But it is playable now. It is playable. It's not it's all we have for a wrestling title at this moment. On if you know, look forward to playing wrestling titles on the game console, especially this one. So, you know, that's all we have to offer. But there's no news on whether it's going to be. It's only going to be Xbox, PC, and PlayStation at this time. I hope. I don't know. I'm so perplexed with these guys. But we'll see. We'll follow up. Of course, you know I'll follow it up as things develop from there. A classic game has returned to the Nintendo Switch last week, and that is Last Blade 2, one of my all-time favorite fighters for SNK. One of the last SNK IPs at the time before they defunct and then before they reemerged back. But, you know, it was one of the last fighting games that they ever created, you know, originally. And it's really great game. I almost think that this is a better... I love Samurai Showdown, but Last Blade 2 and 1 was such a well-balanced, fun game. It wasn't grinding at all. There was no cheap fighters or cheap bosses or whatever like that. It's just a very fun game to play. Animation was beautiful. Again, this is one during the last terms of the first generation of games. And it was really well done. And now you get to play it on the you also play it on a PlayStation. I believe Xbox has it as well. But now you even get to play it in Steam. But now you even get to play it on a Nintendo Switch. I highly recommend, if you're a fighting game fan and if you've never played any of the last Blade games, go out of your way to play it. Great fun, great characters. They even have Kaede, or I believe that's the way he's pronounced, who actually comes off as Super Saiyan. And it is another weapon-based fighter, like pretty much like Samurai Showdown, with some different, you know, contrasting things from Samurai Showdown. So go ahead and check it out there as well. Now, as a Philadelphia person, just for the fact that I'm from Philadelphia, we are a Philadelphia-based brand, I should be extremely happy for this. I'm not a sports fan, but I am extremely happy about this news. And that is 76ers star Joel Embiid was announced at the draft to be, not in the draft, I think it was the awards, the recent awards that just came about, that he was announced to be on the cover of this year's EA Sports NBA Live 19. That's a big deal. It's actually one of the first actually players to be on here too. He's 24 years old, 7 feet tall. I swear to goodness, the one thing, I'm not a fan of basketball entirely, but also the fact that he is 7 foot always kills me, because the 76ers is known for gimmicks like this. We had Manu Bol, we had Sean Bradley, and now we got this brother, but he just so happens to be a very good player, unlike those other two. And rest in peace, Manu Bol, by the way. No discrediting him, but you know, they used him for pure gimmick. They used him with the idea that he could be a defensive player, but the man could not move around. I've actually saw him live against Chicago Bulls, the Pippen and Jordan Chicago Bulls way back. And watching him go back and forth on the court was surreal. It was just surreal, his movement and everything. It just didn't look real at all. But, you know, he was nominated for Best Defensive Player this year, but lost out to Utah Jazz Rudy Gobert nonetheless. But this still is a very high honor. And, you know, all this kind of reminds me of when we had the Geek Awards the year that Talk Time Live got nominated for it. And Ariel Johnson, if you guys know who she is, she's the owner of Amalgam Comics and Coffee House in Philadelphia here. Now, the instant classic and legend, possibly Black History. Very lovely woman. She's the best, one of the best assets that we have in Philadelphia right now, as far as from a cultural and historical standpoint now, because she's the first ever Black female owner to own a comic book shop. And in the east side of this country. And she was also voted for Geek of the Year that year. She didn't win. For what reason, I don't know why she didn't win. That's a whole nother situation. But she didn't win, unfortunately. But instead of that, Marvel Comics called her up to be on the front cover to be illustrated along with Riri Williams for the first issue of our Invincible Iron Man, which was absolutely awesome. And it actually, that actually went worldwide with that knowledge. And she was on ABC News, and it was just reported everywhere. It was a big, big, big accomplishment there. This sounds like kind of the same situation where he didn't win. Of course, it's great to be nominated, of course. But the accolade of him being on the cover, being seen by millions and worldwide and stuff, that's a huge deal as well. So he didn't come out of there empty-handed at all. And that's awesome. Not only that, Embiid will be one of the players that you can select on the one story mode or career mode that, you know, they had last year for 2K18. So he will be a player within the game that you can select on there. And the game will be released on September 7th for PlayStation 4, Xbox One, with a demo arriving at August 27th. So you'll get a chance to check it out and check out an early copy of that as well. So go out of your way to check it out. Now, that's not going to be in a Switch. I was thinking about 2K, NBA 2K, which was on a Switch. And for some reason, nobody had any trouble with that game. That game never went off without a hitch. And nobody complained at all about 2K for the Nintendo Switch on that one. So we'll see on that. But it's absolutely a great deal. Allen Iverson he's not the first Sixer to ever be on the front cover of a game, because Allen Iverson, I believe, was on at least five of them, if I'm correct. When he was out, five of the 2K, NBA 2K games, consecutively. So, I mean, he's not the first, but it's still, for the EA standpoint, he is the first in Philadelphia for the Sixers to actually get it. So that says a hell of a lot for it as well. So, you know, congratulations to him on that. Now, let's get to the main event of this all. Let's talk tennis, people. I'm going to review Mario Tennis Aces for the Nintendo Switch, the much long-awaited game that I've been dying to play. Finally got a chance to play it, ladies and gentlemen. This game, I absolutely do love it, despite some bit of shortcomings that I'm going to talk about. But all in all, this game is so much fun to play, as you would expect from any of the Mario games. There's not one Mario game that isn't fun to play. But what separates this from the rest of them is that they added so much more gameplay element to this. The way that it is set up and structured, it feels like a fighting game in disguise. And I love that aspect to it because of the things that they add. It's very deep in gameplay elements for this edition. An assortment of returning basic moves like top spin, drop shots, star shots, etc. Everything that you expect from the original game is back in this game, gameplay-wise. With the new Switch control schemes and schematics, now they've added on some other really cool elements, such as shot aiming, which gives the ball a curve effect to challenge your opponents. Charge attacks are charge shots are back also, but with a bigger purpose, as it increases your energy gauge. Yes, now you have an energy gauge, much similar to what you would have on a Street Fighter. Any fighting game that has an energy gauge, you're accustomed to this. So you have that element in there as well, which allows you to, you increase your energy gauge by charging the actual shot, the serve that you provide to your opponent. And it allows you to pull off rather a zone shot, which you're provided if you stand on a star shot. So you same traditional thing, but it gives you a different thing. And once you hit the R button, it lets off a kind of a first-person targeting aspect, and you aim the ball where you want it to see if they're going to miss the shot, or if they're going to hit the shot, block the shot, or fail to deflect the shot, which weakens their racket. So you have that going on. However, if you allow the energy gauge to fill up completely, you will pull off what is basically a fighting game super move, but they call it a special shot. And this special shot provides you with each character has their own version of a special shot, which gives a whole spectacle of a thing that they do before they blast you with a tennis ball. And what it does is that it destroys the actual tennis, like the tennis racket, completely. Now, when it does that, it pretty much, you have a limited amount of tennis rackets that you have in a game. Depending on how many tennis rackets you have, if you get hit by a special shot and don't successfully block it, then you kind of lose the chance. So you can lose by points, and in this case now, you can lose by knockout. And how you get knocked out is that if you lose all your consecutive rackets, you completely lose the game before the game is even completely over by points. You can lose by knockout. Technical knock. It should be more technical knockout at best, but you get knocked out of the game completely. So I thought that's an absolutely great element there. There's so many other elements leading to this. So there's a whole back and forth thing going on, which comes off really like a tournament style fighting game here. A lot of great techniques that you could do here. Both the zone and special shots have now targeting modes, as I mentioned, which utilizes through motion control as well. So when you do the targeting, you are moving your Switch handheld around, or you're moving your Joy-Cons around, or your analog sticks around to aim at the place that you want to go to. So it's really a much more innovative and intimately fun game to play this time around. Not only that, you have the awesome ability to use zone shots, zone speed. Zone speed is such a cool thing. So if your character charges their actual zone shots, if you will, or the special moves, you can zone, well, mostly your zone shots, because if you use zone speed, it depletes a bit of your gauge energy. So you can't use a special move on it unless you try to deflect it back. But zone speed allows you to kind of go into speed force mode out of the Flash, and you follow it and beat it to the point only to block it. And you have to know how to block the ball and deflect it properly. If not, you're going to weaken your racket in this case. So you got to time it right. You got to do it. And you can time it right here. There's a certain way to time it right here. So that also adds another fun element too. There are also I believe Starlet you can leap over as well at a certain point in time to make sure if the ball goes deflect in a completely different direction that you're not at, you can hit the, I believe, Y button and it'll deflect over and just be able to, you know, meet that ball and deflect it back as well and serve it back to you as well. This makes for a very fun, aggressive arcade experience, unlike any of the other Mario Tennis games before it as well. So the cool thing about it, blocking a shot is something that you absolutely have to master, though, because if you don't, it's going to get you. But you do so in the games. How you do that is you learn in the game's adventure mode here. So adventure mode, for the first time ever, of course, as they advertise many a times, is for the game story mode, which they've never had in a Mario game ever before. So this was, to me, a successful thing because it lets you, it adds a story element to it, but what it really is in disguise, it's a tutorial mode that helps you learn the fundamentals of how to play this game properly. So the story mode consists of a bunch of different practice mini games that will help you master the game's techniques. Adventure mode also has boss battles with the addition of a beautiful and colorful stages that actually hold a challenge to you when you play. Some of the court stages provide sometimes an unfair advantage to your opponent, as it is designed to block your chances of defeating your boss opponents at will. So, like, for instance, there's a mode in there where all these different characters from the Mario series come out and cross while you're playing a game, and some of them, like Shy Guys, actually come and deflect the ball when you even serve it. They can deflect it back, so they're cheating. They're literally trying to cheat for you. You got to find a way to keep your defense up and, you know, get through it and make sure that it's crazy. It's just really crazy, but you got to try it out. There's also other, really interesting stages as well. Ice stages and all such as you're going through these different areas around the map, you know, for it as well. So the key to the adventure mode is almost similar to what you would do in Punch-Out. Each stage, each mini game stage has a pattern that you have to figure out. And much like Punch-Out, you have to find the pattern in order to successfully learn how to beat said stage or said boss character in here indeed. So that's the fun element there. There's also an RPG element in the game which helps Mario evolve his skills and racket power as well. You get different rackets in this game, which is traditional to the Mario series, at least for the adventure mode here. And I'll talk about that a little bit exclusively throughout this as to why that's a plus and a minus here. The story of the game has Mario looking to help his brother Luigi, who has gained and possessed the power of this racket. I forgot what the name of the racket was called, which also consists of power stones. The racket kind of resembles a racket version of the Infinity Gauntlet. And the power stones are kind of one of, I really, really believe that they took a bit off of Infinity Wars and the Infinity Gauntlet as influence for this. And I guess if they didn't think about it, it's Power Stone as well, because they called them Power Stones. There is a Capcom melee fighter called Power Stone. So there you go. So you are the actual racket also, this curse racket, if you will, also has turned Wario and Luigi as well. So, and possession of the, like, so they're like possessed zombies throughout this whole entire thing. So you are pretty much on a journey to save Luigi as well as Wario and Waluigi as well, going through this adventure as well. So, adventure mode is very challenging at first. It provides a deep learning curve, but it pretty much forces you to learn how to play the game properly. And that's actually the good thing. So it's not, you're grinding, but you're learning at the same time. So, you know, at first you're cursing it out to some extent, but after a while, as you keep playing the game, and it does entice you to want to keep playing it and keep playing it because you feel like you gain a little bit more knowledge of how to play the game properly. By the end, you're very satisfied because you're actually mastering some of the gameplay aspects, especially blocking, which is one of the most important aspects of this game, is learning how to block. So I absolutely, by the end of beating this game, I had no trouble with it at all. And just requires a lot of, you know, keep going through the motions and playing it. Now, it is up to you to be able to add on your technique once you play the game after beating the game, which you kind of go through it in about a day. I literally played through this game and beat it in about a day. I would say that that's, you know, beating game that quick is a bad thing. But considering how much of a challenge level this game is, I didn't mind it. And there is no difficulty level for you to go through. You got to go through their motions the way they want to. I don't mind it being as short as it was. I don't think that takes away from the gameplay experience. Because one, you could go back and replay all these games again and go through the cutscenes again. And two, it just really helps out at the end. I don't think if they would have made it longer, it would have been too grinding. It would not have been as fun. I think short and sweet was the best idea, and they did a great job. And I actually appreciate that they didn't let you go through more and more grinding modes, because it would have just been redundant gameplay after this time. And then people would have complained about how redundant it is. So I think this was the better choice for them as well. You do unlock the ability to the stages that you play through, as well as gain new rackets, which has more powerful abilities each time for Mario. Just for Mario in the adventure mode. As well as you do unlock cutscenes as well from the game too. There are other modes in here in the game that consist of your traditional tournament mode, which if you played a Mario game, this is pretty much this used to be the bread and butter of the game series, where you play through these different difficulty stages of the tournaments. You also have free play mode. You also have swing mode, which allows you to use your Joy-Con and an accessory, a racket accessory, which they advertised at E3, that you get a racket, so you get to play through it. I actually like that because it gets you off your butt, and you can get a good workout from it. You can lose some calories and, you know, get in shape. And if you own an Apple Watch, you know, or any other type of watch that, you know, monitors your activity and stuff like that, and your workout and everything, you can do stuff like that. So I like the aspect of that. And this may encourage me to want to get an actual, the tennis racket to, you know, give it more fun and get a workout out of it. You're definitely going to burn some calories. You're definitely getting some activity playing this. Guaranteed you will. So you'll have that aspect as well. Tournament is, like I said, the traditional mode here for tennis, for the tennis game series, Mario Tennis series. You do have a choice of playing online or computer single player tournament. If you aren't an online gamer though, there may be a benefit to playing an online game, as Nintendo will be providing DLC characters. If you notice, there are like 3 or 4 different question marks there, and it says, and it does tell you that throughout different months leading up, which is July, August, September, they will be unlocking a new character, but you have to play through the online factor to play it. So I don't think you have to beat a certain aspect of the game. I think you just need to be interactive with the online play in there in order to get these characters. Now, we'll be having tournaments, actual tournaments for this game as well down the line. And we'll see about that, if, you know, what are their incentives they're going to provide here. The other thing that they're doing too for tournament mode, as always, the traditional, you'll have the mushroom, flower, and star cup mode, which is basically your easy, medium, and hard levels of gameplay. You play through your characters with mushroom mode, cup mode. It's pretty much just you breezing through this game if you don't want to go through any challenges or anything, which is cool. But you go through flower and cup mode, and star cup mode. They do provide a certain level of strategy when you play through the game, and it is very formidable when you play those modes. It's not too hard to say, but again, if you know the fundamentals of what you play through in adventure mode, it does help you play through those modes, and it does give you a bigger strategy. Like, I played the Star Cup mode, and it was a little bit more challenging, and I had to figure out another way of beating Bowser in this case, and it was awesome. The other thing that's awesome about the tournament mode is here that I thought, you know, brought the presentation, made the presentation much better, is now they have commentary within, you know, the modes before and after the match. So, and during, it's somewhat, I believe, during. So you got the Toads doing commentary of your gameplay aspect, and they do provide you with some different gameplay. You know, sometimes it is repeated and recycled, but the presentation of it all is so great, and it does add a little bit more intrigue to the gameplay and a great game experience as well. So those are the positives of the game. And unfortunately, you would think with all that I'm talking about here that there's no there's nothing but positives. There are at this time, and I'm saying at this time because we don't know what's going to happen down the line, but there are somewhat negatives to this game at this, surprisingly, at this point. While Mario Tennis Aces has a ton of fun and has added a lot of elements to the that makes you fun a fun, you know, play experience, the game fails short of not adding some obvious features and content that we have grown accustomed to in Mario Tennis games. Unfortunately, at this time, there are no single-player doubles-only match type in this game. Now, if you played the games before, if you remember playing like the one for the 3DS recently, I believe both the Mario Tennis for the 3DS and All-Stars for the 3DS both had doubles play matches in their games. So I was really surprised that they didn't have it here. But it is on the, I believe it's on the single play or the free play mode. I do believe you could do it there. But just the fact that you can't have that option on the tournament mode, it kind of took away from it in a way. Because you had really multiple ways of playing the tournament mode and the single player mode right there, which brought on some more gameplay value there. So the fact that they took that out, I don't understand why they did that. Hopefully, in the near future, they'll add that on. Also, there's only three tournament modes as opposed to the 3DS versions, which had an extra three tournament cups that unlocked when you beat the first three. So that's not on there as well at the moment. And I'm just saying at the moment because they could be releasing I'm hoping a DLC pack or something. There's no announcement of this. It doesn't look like they're adding on anything else to this, but seems to be, we don't know right now. I know ARMS has actually done this too, where, you know, down the line they started adding more content to it, but there was never any, you know, mention that they were going to do stuff or add on more down the line. So we'll see. The big element missing from this version is the lack of special rackets and other customizable RPG accessories for each character, which was a big deal when playing the previous versions. Now, if you remember, playing the previous versions, they had each character had an RPG element. Like, if you played through one character, you would get different rackets, you would get different clothes or gear or whatever, and those and all of that added on to leveling, helping you level up your character in different ways, you know, throughout the game. None of that is on this one. And not only that, the ability to play as your Mii character is not in there either, at least at the moment. So that was also surprising as well. I don't know what they're doing with that or whether they're going to add that at a later date, but that played so well into, you know, playing the game more because each character, you had a different racket and everybody had a different customizable racket that was characteristic to their, you know, persona. And now that's out. And it was like, it was tons. Like each character, I think, had at least like maybe five, could be more than that, rackets, multiple different rackets for each character in their game. And now this one had nothing. It's like you're just playing as the character himself. I gotta believe that they're going to add more to this because for them to go to all this work to add on all these different elements and it's just like, it's kind of half-assed in a sense. I'm really surprised of what is in here now. I mean, like I said, it's possible like the ARMS series, they'll be providing more content in the near future, but at this time, there's no announcements for that. So hopefully they will provide updates and DLC adding more to what could be an A-plus game. But unfortunately, as great and fun as this game is, with the lack of continuity that we're all used to having, I gotta give this a solid B right now. And if down the line that they do add more, and I'll look into further information to see if they will, I'll add a different grade to this. But this is the lack of content should not be taken away to how much fun this game is. It's just you would expect so much more in what you're used to expecting because, even though they added a story adventure mode to this, the 3DS actually version is way more. It provides way more continuity than this version does. And that's really surprising and shocking. So I give this at the moment, right now, a solid B. Until further notice, this gets a solid B. But go out of your way if you like the Mario series. I do say you can check it out, definitely. If you are a person who liked the customizable factor and RPG element factor, you're only going to get it on Adventure Mode and with only Mario. And then Mario only has 5 rackets, again. So that's the other thing. It was like only 5. I was expecting so much more from that. But, it gets a very solid, strong B. And that's not saying a bad thing. But if you like Mario Tennis, go ahead and rock it. If you still have a 3DS, I'm going to say hold off until further notice and enjoy the original Mario. But at the same time, there's that same aspect of saying the new gameplay should intrigue you to want to play Mario Tennis Aces, because the new super special shots are something to look at and something to really appreciate. And you know, the whole gameplay factor, it is a very, it does provide a different way of playing. So definitely I give it a B right now. So that will pretty much do it with that. And ladies and gentlemen, that will do it for this edition of Select Start. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you for taking the time to download, listen, and subscribe to us, which you can also do so if you haven't already on iTunes, on iHeartRadio, on Stitcher, on Google Play. And you can also check us out, of course, at the home of Talk Time Live, that being TalkTimeLive.com as well, where you can check out all of our episodes of Select Start in our Prime show, as well as all the exclusive interviews that we have with some of the best in all things anime, comics, movies, games. And do get ready for later on this year, and probably in 2019, maybe. Especially depends on when Devil May Cry come out, but do expect our guests to be back for that as well. But we got guests coming up. Megan Rand's coming up maybe this week or next week, so stay tuned for that. Molly Flanagan's coming down. Vic Mignon is coming down and going to be joining the show, as they are going to be heading here to Philly for Keystone Comic Con. So definitely stay tuned for that and much, much more. There may be a Prime show this week. I'm not sure, depending on my circumstance, my situations outside, but there will definitely, if not, there will definitely be a show next week, because Ant-Man is coming out. Ant-Man and the Wasp is coming out. And not only will I be reviewing it, but I'm doing something really cool with some of the members of the ACMG Facebook group on Facebook. If you're from Philadelphia, if you're listening to this right now, if you're from Philadelphia and not a member of the ACMG Facebook group, please come join us at facebook.com/groups/ACMG1. Come join all the fun. If you're 18 or older with a legit profile pic and your fandom being displayed somewhere in your profile that shows that you are a fan of anime, comics, movies, and or games in there. And just come along and have a lot of fun with this. And we're trying to do so much more to interact with people, not only just online, but in person. So I had the idea of doing an outing for the ACMG Facebook members. And we're going to do our first outing. It's been years since I've been wanting to do this. I've hung around and had the pleasure of meeting some fans and, you know, from the show, as well as some members of the group from not only our city of Philadelphia, but from also different parts of the country and different parts of the world, believe it or not. So had the honor of being able to do that. But this time I want to do something really cool, and I want this to be the start of something. So we're doing a movie outing, which ACMG is invading Movie Tavern. If you're in the Philadelphia area and has been to Movie Tavern, especially the one in Flower Town, which is the one we're going to be heading to, July the 6th, which is the Friday for that date, we're going to be heading down there and meeting up, having a lot of fun meeting up, eating some pretty damn good food for a movie theater. This is not a normal movie theater, people, ladies and gentlemen. If you've been to Movie Tavern, you know what to expect. But Movie Tavern is one of the best restaurant-style movie theaters out there. There's some other ones that are coming up now. There's some ones within Philadelphia that are okay, but doesn't measure up to what Movie Tavern's done. I knew that we're getting a new one downtown or Center City that's supposed to be in the same level as Movie Tavern. We'll see. But Movie Tavern in Flower Town and Collegeville is one of the best experiences I've ever had in a movie theater. I mean, you sit down and you sit in a recliner chair, much like my recliner chair here in my house. You know, where it has a, you know, lazy boy type of feature. You kick up your feet, you have a table that's connected to it, and you hit a button, you get the waiters to wait on you. They bring you food, like actual real food, like actual real restaurant food, and whatever you can get from popcorn, pretzel bites, and all that stuff. But you can also go deeper and get a whole entire type dinner experience or lunch experience, depending on what time of the day you go there. So I've invited quite a bit of our ACMG members, and already tickets are being brought by them, and the seats are filling up. So if you are, like I said, if you're from Philly, if you are interested, come join our group. And then also, you know, come join us on July 6th. And we're going to have a great time, and we finally get to meet up with some people. This is just a great way to, I say, just a great way to get out of the matrix and into the real world. Because sometimes we're so engulfed with online, and we're all connecting online, but it's a whole nother experience to meet in person. And you get a different perspective. You get a different context. Because sometimes context and when texting can really, you don't get a readout. You don't get an accurate readout. But if you have people in person, it's really cool to see. And you might actually have a better relationship with people, too. And it's, we need to get out every once in a while from the Matrix. Take the red pill and join us on July 6th for Movie Tavern as ACMG invades it. And we will have fun watching Ant-Man and the Wasp, the long-awaited follow-up to the Avengers Infinity Wars. And it looks like it will be a follow-up because somebody... trailers now that we're seeing is hinting that he's going to be connected in some form or fashion to what just happened, and we don't know what time frame that this is going to be resolving, you know, from too. But it's going to be very interesting to see what happens there from that point. So we will be reviewing that a week from you know, in about almost 2 weeks from now. And check us out then. But we'll see if we'll have a show this week or not. If we do, you'll see it. If you're subscribed to us, you'll see that a new episode is coming. If Mega Ran comes in this week, we'll definitely have that as well, if not next week. But we're going to have a good time nonetheless. So, ladies and gentlemen, without further ado, I hope you guys have a great week. And until then, this is Dak Xavier Josiah saying, learn to let go, live life, and love all things anime, comics, movies, and games. This is ACMG Presents Talk Time Live. I am out of here. Take care and have a great week. This episode of ACMG Presents Talk Time Live is brought to you by Viewfinders Identity Search and Design, your choice for multimedia development for your brand. Visit VFISAD.com and find out how we can make your vision your reality.